What's up, everybody? Doing a quick podcast today. Actually, not a quick podcast. Doing a quick intro to the podcast because I forgot to do a couple things. Had a buddy of mine on the show, a local open micer on the Nashville comedy scene, Sean Mangano. Sorry, Sean Mangano joins us today, or joins me. Sam wasn't here, but we do it over the phone because it's quarantine, you know what I'm saying? And we had a good time talking about not coronavirus, but the Nashville comedy scene and comedy in general, along with a couple other little, you know, things here and there. Mostly comedy, though. So I hope you like comedy, and I hope you're ready to listen to us talk about comedy. Sean has a podcast newly created and out on Spotify and Anchor currently. Will be soon available everywhere you can listen to podcasts. Check it out. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. I hope you're all doing well. You know what I'm saying? Stay safe. Stay out. Don't go to parties. I'm so sick of looking at my Snapchat and seeing motherfuckers at parties smoking blunts, passing it around to 10 people. Don't do that. That's how you go to hell. You go to hell if you do that, right? Okay. So, not without further ado, a little more ado, I need you to go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe to the show, and rate us 5 stars. We got 38 ratings on there, right? I want to get up to 48, okay? 48 ratings. I ain't got no job right now. I'm broke. Got a sponsor who says he'll donate $100 for every extra rating we get over 38 on Apple. So I cannot tell you how important it is. If you have friends that don't even listen to the show, they ain't got to listen to the show. Just tell them to go to iTunes and rate us 5 stars on there. Get us some more ratings. Get me and Sam some money for the podcast or for our own pockets as we struggle. Both lost our jobs to this corona shit. That's enough of that. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I welcome to the show my buddy, Sean Mangano. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Bad Credit Podcast. I've got a special guest with me today. He was basically the first person to ever acknowledge my existence in the Nashville open mic comedy scene. So big ups to the man, Sean Mangano, joining us today. What's up, Sean?
Thanks, Steven. I'm just hanging out at home today, so I'm happy to come on here and do this podcast with you.
Word, man. Thanks for making time in your busy, busy schedule. I know you're out there, you know, doing a lot of stuff in today's environment with the coronavirus going on. How are you getting by, man? What are you doing with all your extra time?
I've been watching Netflix. I just discovered Red Bull TV, which has been interesting. Just some variety.
What's Red Bull TV? Just a bunch of people on bikes, like, hitting their heads against concrete walls and shit?
Well, no, it's basically action sports TV, and they just do videos and documentaries with all of their sponsored athletes. So that's been a nice variety. I was watching CBS Sports, but even that's gotten old because there's nothing for them to cover anymore.
Right. So no, that seems like it would get boring quick. I discovered a new show on Netflix called Happy. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. I did see Tiger King, which was the hit of the coronavirus apocalypse.
Oh yeah.
So I'm in the loop about that. So and that's bizarre, but it makes for good TV.
You should check out Happy. Everyone should check out Happy. It's weird, dude. It's my favorite new thing. It's a show about this ex-cop who went rogue, and now he's working in the underground dirty lifestyle, you know what I mean? And it's so graphic. I mean, it's like a very, very graphic comic book, and they cuss a whole lot, but then he has an imaginary pony, like a unicorn, blue unicorn friend. And so it's got a lot of childish shit in it, too. It is such a weird combo. I never, ever imagined, like, this combination of super childish humor and mystical imaginary friends and imagination mixed with just blood and guts and gore and cussing and sex. It's crazy. And Patton Oswalt plays the imaginary friend, so it's pretty interesting.
Is it a cartoon or is it a live action show?
It's live. It's real people, but the cartoon, the dude is like CGI, like the you know, the little cartoon character guy is like CGI'd into everything, but it looks real. It's weird, dude. I mean, it's a great concept. It's the first time I've ever seen anything like it.
I'll have to keep that in mind.
It's pretty cool. I've already binged the first season. I'm on the second season now.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that come across my dashboard. I usually just watch the dark documentaries. So as soon as I finish one, another dark documentary pops up. So I did watch a little of I Am Killer, which was depressing murder cases.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm the type of person, dude. My mind is so dark and scary that I don't like being in there very long. I got to have comedy to pull me out. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if it ain't funny, I can't watch it. I can't watch anything other than comedy. That's all I can watch.
Then I recommend Taylor Tomlinson's new
special. Oh, yeah, I've already seen that. That's a cool one to watch with the old lady, too. Like, if you're a dude and you got a girlfriend, like, y'all can bond over that. She's great for both sexes, you know what I mean? And it's funny. Yeah. Yeah, she's great. She's hilarious.
I watched Tom Segura's too. He was okay.
Nah, I didn't
Joe
like
Rogan
it.
was a good special. I can't remember which one. He has like two or three on Netflix now. So there's plenty of good comedy to watch. But I usually don't watch too much stand up. But
well,
I mean,
stand up necessarily. I'm just saying something that's got to make me laugh. I honestly get tired of watching stand up. But like The Office, dude. I've watched that probably 10 times through. It just has to be humorous in nature. Like, I can't watch people getting murdered, kids getting kidnapped and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's what's cool about this Happy. It's comedy, but it's also not. It's also like a thriller kind of action. It's pretty interesting. But anyway, man, I guess I'm fucking up right here, but we met at Third Coast Comedy. Do you remember the first time we met or not?
No, I mean, with new comedians, there's like 3 to 5 that start each week. So,
right,
like there's so I'll see so many new faces, and it usually takes seeing somebody come for a month or two.
Right, before you even recognize
somebody.
They're in the room. It's so crazy because, so I started doing open mics and stuff in Nashville back in 2017, and I would do it for a couple weeks. I would absolutely just embarrass myself, and I would quit for months, and then I would try it again. I'd have a couple good, not good sets, but you know, like, I did
better sets.
Right, and then it would be terrible again, and finally I stopped for like a whole year, and then I started back at the end of 2019, and you know, nobody talks to you because, like you said, you got to show up a few times, you know, a few months before anyone even notices you're in the room. And so I just keep to myself. And, like, you were pretty much the first person other than Shane fucking – God dang it. What's his last name? Long hair.
Bianchi.
Yeah, Shane Bianchi. Because when I started in 2017, he was doing his first mics too. So we kind of connected then, and he recognized me when I came back. But other than that, you were like the first person to even acknowledge my existence. And so I kind of like would just find you every time I hit a mic, you know what I mean? And then through that, we started talking a little more and all that. So I appreciate you just coming up and talking to me, you know what I mean? Cause it made me feel a little bit less like an outsider or a stranger. And, you know, it's funny now because there's a few people I talk to on the little scene, but they're all new people. So it's like, if I see somebody I've never seen before, I automatically run up and talk to them, you know, because I'm like, oh, that's somebody that I could be friends with. It's funny. It's kind of a weird environment.
Yeah. Well, I probably said something to you because you always wear the Titans hat. So I was probably curious how big of a Titans fan.
Oh, yeah. Huge, man.
Or something along those lines.
Yeah. Yeah. Titans. For sure, I do always have a Titans hat on. It's like the only hat I got, basically. But you've been in the game for, what, 10 years?
Yeah, well, I think I started writing like 12 years ago, and then I started going up consistently in 2010. That's the summer between whatever it was, my freshman and sophomore year in college or something like that. And then I would go back to school, and I did it 3 months at a time, and then I got done with school, and then I did it more consistently, and then I wasn't doing it, but then when I moved to Nashville, I definitely was able to get back in the loop and go up two or three times a week to get better. Because if you, that's what I know, is if you're not going up consistently, you won't get any better. And I know I'll forget my jokes and my rhythm and timing and everything will be off. So
yeah, I haven't been doing it. I haven't been doing it all that long, but I can tell, like, even if I only do it once or twice a week, I can feel how rust, I don't want to say rust, I don't know what the word is, but it's like you get into a more of a fluid rhythm when you're doing, say, like 4 times a week. You know what I mean? Because it just feels like you're more comfortable. And then if you take a week off, it's like, God dang, it's like starting over again, you know? Especially when you already yes. suck like me. Like, I'm still trying to figure out what's funny and what isn't funny. And you know what I mean? It's so...
Well, I think what I've noticed is, well, it takes a while for anybody to find their voice, which I feel like I finally found mine again. Like, in the beginning, I got off to a good start. But then, like I said, I hadn't been doing it consistently enough to make that much progress. But now, or right before everything was shut down, I felt like I was writing good jokes and my delivery and timing was getting better. Even though I was working nights and I could only go up once or twice a week, but when I would go up, it would still go well. I had a couple good sets at the Comedy Bar, which I wasn't really expecting because I do still feel rusty. And then at the Barrow Bar and Grill, both for their Tornado Relief show, which was during the day in the afternoon, which is the worst time to do comedy. But it ended up working out fine. And then their last open mic night before all the bars shut down went well.
Yeah.
And those were all topical jokes. I was like, wow, these are
yeah, these it was are going getting better than fun. There was so much to talk about topically. You know, yes. Like, but I want to come back to, like, deeper into comedy in a minute. You can finish your thought if you want. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to say that those two open mic nights had definitely started to restore my confidence. I was like, okay, good. I need to write more, and I can.
Dude, I was getting
do longer sets and like finally grow, because I haven't really pushed myself that much.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's part of the reason why maybe I haven't progressed. But
yeah, I was getting a lot more confident too, and it's such a bummer that all this shit happened just now, because it just crushed everything I got. Like, I was starting to feel like, oh, maybe one day I can get booked on a show that's not an open mic, you know what I mean? Not anytime soon, but I feel like I could do it eventually, you know what I'm saying?
And part of that is just making and building those relationships with people that have showcases.
Right.
And I feel like I'm funny enough, but I'm not on the top of people's minds for booking the
showcases.
Yeah,
and that's a whole thing. That's political. You know what I mean? But yes. I do want to go into the intricacies of the whole comedy thing. But first, I want to get a little background stuff on who you are, because I feel like, you know, it will go linearly time-wise instead of jumping back to that later on. You know what I'm saying? So, I know you're from D.C. I know you went to college in D.C., right? But
No, I was raised in D.C. I was born in the greater Philadelphia area.
Oh, interesting.
But when I was one or two, my parents moved to D.C. for my dad's job, and I grew up in the same house in the D.C. suburbs for as long as I can remember.
Oh, no.
And then I went back to Philly to go to school because I wanted to go to school somewhere different than where I grew up, but I didn't want to be too far away. So, and I did some comedy there.
Philly?
I got him. Yes.
Interesting.
And, it wasn't that often, dude. I was not the best student already, much less taking time off away, leaving campus for a couple hours to do an open mic night was,
Not a good idea, was probably.
A little difficult, yeah, and I was already getting, like, B's and C's, so.
So what school, what college did you go to again?
St. Joe's in Philly.
St. Joe's. Looks like you're not the biggest loser from St. Joe's in Philly. That's one of your
jokes.
Yes,
no, that was an easy joke to write.
Yes,
one of the former basketball players is now homeless. I first saw the story on complex.com, but I think ESPN had posted about it and other sports media outlets. So
are your parents still both alive and together?
Yep, they're both alive and together in the greater DC area. They're retired now.
What are they, senators or something?
No. My mom was a nutritionist, dietitian, like hospital food service. And then my dad was an engineer and he did government contracting. So he can't really tell me what exactly.
Oh, deep state shit, huh? Helping build a new world government.
No, I think we're just building satellites.
Do you have brothers and sisters or anything?
I have a younger sister. So she's 2 years younger than me, and she's in grad school right now.
For what?
Environmental policy.
Wow. She's going to go into politics, huh?
Keep possibly. I think she talked about, like, working for the national parks or something like that, but who knows? I don't think she started looking for a job specifically yet. She also talked about, like, working for nonprofits,
right,
that are trying to clean the planet up as yeah. well. So
well, that's cool, man. That's crazy that you're, like, basically from D.C. I've been there once. We went there on a our senior trip, but it was, like, a school-sponsored senior trip. Like, our teachers took us there. And we just went around and saw the monuments and shit like that. But I remember being like, man, I want to live here, dude. I could get into politics, and I couldn't have gone further from that. It's so wild. I thought I was.
Did you go to any of the museums there?
We went to the Holocaust Museum. At the time, I'm so stupid. Dude, you got to know how redneck I am. I mean, most people listening to this know, but. At the time we went to the Holocaust Museum, I called it the Holocaust Museum. I thought it was called Holocaust, bro. I'm from the fucking woods, dude. I don't know anything.
Clearly, you weren't paying attention to history class.
No. Dude, I'm not sure we learned about it in history class. It probably was called Holocaust, you know what I'm saying? We're from the fucking redneck place. And then we went to... Is there, like, a science thing there, too?
Yeah, there's the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History, and then American History.
We went to the Smithsonian something.
Okay. Well, there's like 10 Smithsonians.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I wouldn't know which
one. It was probably the Natural History Museum.
Yeah, it had a lot to do with scientific shit. I know that.
Yes.
But we had a good time, you know. We wilded out and acted like a bunch of fucking fools, dude. We went to Mount Vernon, which I know isn't in D.C., but... On the way up there, I guess we went to Mount Vernon, and that is Thomas Jefferson's place, right? Mount Vernon.
That was either George Washington or Thomas Jefferson's. I get that too confused.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Whatever it was Thomas Jefferson's house. And we went there, and when we we got ahead of the tour guide, and we had this friend, I won't say his name, but I don't know if this is a felony or not, but this motherfucker took off running. Jump over a rope that's supposed to, like, keep you from going into the room, and landed on a bed, like a 250-year-old bed, and it just broke to the ground, dude.
What?
Yeah, and we all hurried up and pitched in and set it back up on the legs before anybody got around the corner, like any adults came around the corner. It was so wild, dude. I was like, why'd you just break Thomas Jefferson's bed, bro? It was crazy, man. He probably go to jail if he had got caught.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's like a national artifact.
He destroyed it, man. It was pretty funny.
At a government owned historical site.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a you can't bring that might be frowned upon.
A bunch of damn fucking hillbillies
from Hartsville up there. Damn government, boy, I'll tell you what. But anyway, dude, so what, I'm guessing you're single, right?
Yep.
He's single, ladies. Or men, I don't know. Here's a question. Here's a weird question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least, 10 being the most, how gay would you say you are? Because it's a spectrum.
I don't know. Not gay at all. I mean,
you have to be at least one. 1 to 10.
Then a 1. But I will – I think I do – I'm well aware if, like, a guy is attractive to women. Like, I have enough – sense to know, like, oh yeah, I can see why why they're all over you. All
right, okay, well then rate me on a 1 to 10.
I don't know, like a 4.
Oh, I feel like that's a low blow. I feel like I'm easily a 7, especially if they don't see me naked, like they don't see my body.
I mean, I'm probably only a 5 or 6 too, so I don't
that's fair.
I don't think I'm quite the catch either, so.
So, when's the last relationship you had?
Never. Like, nothing formal, but I was seeing a girl last year for a little bit, but it wasn't anything serious.
How'd you meet her? Did you meet her from doing stand-up?
No, I was on Tinder.
Oh, shit. Did you, dude, you don't have to answer these questions, or you can answer them fictionally, obviously, but because I don't want to cross over a line, but did you, do sex with her?
Yeah, that was all we did.
Oh, nice. Dude, you skipped all the bullshit. So I was watching, God, dude, this quarantine shit's getting wild, I'll tell you. I'm spending every day with my girlfriend, and we watched last night a fucking Mary-Kate and Ashley movie, bro. Like, an old school Mary-Kate and Ashley movie. And it's called, what was it called? It was called Holiday in Sunville or something. Like, Holiday in the Sun or something. And it was made in 2001. So, you know, I don't know. I was like 10 or 11, right? And she's like the same age. We're watching this fucking movie, and all it is just girls, like those two girls, the twins, you know what I'm saying? Just going around being like, oh, he's so hot. And then they would talk and they'd be like, woohoo! And they would sneak out. And that was the big climax. You know, it's so stupid as fuck. But like, you go back and watch those old movies when you're a kid, it's like that. You know what I mean? It appealed to you at that age. But the craziest thing from this movie is one of the twins, I can't tell them apart, they're standing on the pier and this guy that she's interested in, they've been friends, you know, for, you know, whatever, their whole lives, I guess. They grew up together, but she never, you know, paid him any attention, but now he's hot, you know? And and so he goes, you know, he was telling this other guy that she had met all the things to do to win her over. It didn't work out, and she found out he was giving him the information. She goes, that's so sweet. How did you know me so well? And he's like, well, I've known you my whole life. And she's like, but I've known you my whole life, and I don't know anything about you. And he said, you know how people, all people have hobbies? Well, you're my hobby. And I was like, that's the creepiest shit I've ever heard in my life.
And I was gonna say that probably wouldn't work in real life.
No, but but for her, it melted her panties right off. You know what I'm saying? And it's so creepy. And then that's when I realized that pursuing a woman is like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a huge target. You're standing 30 feet away in the dark. You got to throw a dart at a dartboard. And you either hit the bullseye and it's a success, or you hit anywhere else and you're a total fucking creep. You know? Because it's like, that worked. But if it didn't work, he could have got arrested for stalking.
Yes. Well, it's also a movie. But yes, that's...
But I feel like that's how relationships are, you know? Like, you gotta put yourself out there. And if you miss, you're embarrassed. Even if it didn't creepily, you're just embarrassed.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you can't tell, that's a bit that I'm going to work on at some point.
I mean, there might be some potential there.
So what? You've done comedy in Philly and D.C.? Or no?
I did New York twice, just 2 trips up, and did open my nights there since that's the place to do comedy. It's
right. Did you have to pay to go to those?
Yeah, there was one or two of them mic nights at comedy clubs where you had to pay, and then you put your name in a raffle and you still might not get on.
That's wild.
Which was so ridiculous. But I mean, I guess that's the only way that they can keep the lights on is you have to have comics pay for an open mic night.
That's crazy, but it also makes sense.
Cover, I mean, their expenses.
They got a lot more people there, and we're so lucky to have what we have in Nashville. That's another thing I wanted to get into is, to me, I mean, I've never experienced any other city, but to me, dude, it blows my mind that I can just leave my house and I can do 5-6 spots a week without really trying that hard. You know what I'm saying? I can get up every time, essentially. Yeah. I mean, some of them have drawings or whatever, but wow, dude, I think it's awesome. And I just read that some article, and I know I saw you retweeted or whatever by Nashville Scene talking about how Nashville's comedy scene is so great.
Yes. Well, what surprised me is that we went from one comedy club to three comedy clubs in the time I've been here.
Mm-hmm. Which, how long have you been here?
Like 5 years.
Okay.
Roughly.
Yeah.
Like 2016, I guess. So 4 years. I didn't realize that there'd be that much interest in comedy. So, I love going to Third Coast Comedy Clubs, and that's
my favorite spot. Is that, what's your favorite?
That's probably it. That or the East Room. But Third Coast is just a great place to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was getting back into doing comedy here, like, that's where I first started having good sets again, was at Third Coast, because it was a comedy club and it drew a good crowd that knew, or that knows what open mic night comedy is. And sometimes you have to educate them on what they'll be seeing, and it's not going to be the same level as they see on TV.
Yeah, but there, that's, man, I feel like
people are on TV.
Yeah, people at Third Coast, though, man, it's like, you get a good, genuine crowd. You get people who, I feel, I could be totally wrong because I'm pretty new, but I feel that people go there just to watch that. Like, most open night mics, everyone is trying to get on stage, and there it seems like there's a little bit of an abundance of people who are going to be there no matter what, and they laugh. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of open mics, dude, people, it's like they're trying their hardest not to laugh at anything. You know,
yes.
And at Third Coast, I've never had a bad set, like not a single time. Even when I felt I was doing bad, they laugh, which maybe some comments would probably tell you that's a bad thing. But to me, it boosts my confidence. It makes me feel like I'm doing all right, you know?
Yes. No, and that's how a lot of the open mic nights were in D.C., since there are so many bars and so much to do that you could never get a good crowd, or rarely was there a good crowd. So that was refreshing to see here, is that most of the open mic nights can get a decent draw of people. And I definitely do value and appreciate that, what Third Coast has built, and even what the Comedy Bar is starting to build. Zany's is obviously...
Have you ever performed at Zany's?
Yes, I did the Comedy at the Yazoo like 2 years ago.
How did that go? And can you tell me like what you had to do to get on that? Because I would love to try to get on that eventually, you know?
Yes, it didn't go well. The crowd was only there to see one guy.
Oh, yeah, you told me that.
I don't even know if he's still doing comedy, but he somehow was able to draw like 40 or 50 people.
Holy
but
shit.
Only to see him. Yes, I guess he has a big family or a lot of friends.
Right.
And they're just like, forget anybody else. Like, we're not even going to acknowledge that you're on stage.
Yeah, I've seen that a couple times at different open mics and at a Yazoo before.
That was a letdown.
What did you have to
in
do
order to get? Well, I emailed Lucy, who books it, and she initially didn't want to put me on the show, but she's like, fine, I'll give you a guest spot, so you'll get on the show, like, you'll be on stage, but you won't be part of the competition, because the winner of the Comedy at the Yazoo gets to host it next month, so it's a way for them to see how good you are at their club, and then if you do so well, like, you can move on, and you host it the month after, and then I guess if you host it a couple times, it goes well, then they'll let you MC and feature.
Right, for like
for their shows.
Traveling show. Yeah. That's cool. I didn't realize it was like kind of like a competition in a way. I didn't know that. I thought it was just more of a showcase, which it is, but.
And how you get booked is what she told me is you have to be on one book show at another comedy club.
Wow.
Yes. And or you can just get referred by somebody that she trusts. So if it's another established comedian or two or three, they all recommend you and say that you're good enough to be on there, then you have a good shot of getting on. Obviously, you have to have a good video too, but like I think it's a lot about word of mouth and people validating that you're good enough and you're consistent enough to be booked there.
Well, shit, dude. Since you're from DC, you ought to be good at them politics.
No, I never really followed politics until Trump got elected, to be quite honest.
Yeah, well, I guess we won't get into that.
Yes, I think for everybody's benefit, that would be a wise decision.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think about, what is it? The Comedy Bar. That's on 3rd Avenue, right downtown Nashville. It's a dope spot. What do you think about that show? Like, what do you like? Because it's a unique angle at an open mic.
Yes. I mean, I think their wheel, which for those of you who have never been, it's a wheel that has four different options on it, I believe. It's you get 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, free pizza, or bump. So options.
You get a bunch more options than that. You can actually get 5 minutes or 6 minutes. You can get no light, no mic, get heckled, or crowd work only. So there's a
okay. Yeah. So there's 10 options. I thought of six. You thought of five or six more.
Yeah.
So there's 12 options that anything could happen. So it definitely makes me have to try harder to adapt. I mean, I always try to have 4 minutes ready. So if I land on 4 minutes, at least I'll be able to do a whole 4 minutes. And then if I land on like 2 minutes or 1 minute, then I just pick the best four jokes that I have. Or if it's 1 minute, then I do like two or three jokes and I try to deliver them faster and get on and off stage as quick as I can. So it's definitely forces me to adapt and get better. So
yeah, I love that place, and I've had, you know, a couple. If I ever get, so at the end, they try to get everyone up, you get 1 minute, and anytime I've gotten 1 minute, I've been able to say my best joke and get some laughs. That's what has been like the best part of that mic for me. But one time I got no mic and I did okay, you know, but it was definitely a fucking wild ball, like a curveball. I was like, what? I didn't know what to do with my hands. Like, and then another time I got what happened? Oh, one time I just rolled 1 minute and I wasn't ready for it. And I didn't know what to do. It was in December. So I'd only been doing it like 2 months or a month, and here's what I did. I had about 3 minutes ready, and I tried to fit it all into 1 minute, and I said, this is what I got up to, and I go, okay, everybody, I only have 1 minute, so I'm trying to get it really fast, and I talked like that for the whole set, and tried to go through my set, and everybody just looked at me like I was a retard. It was hilarious. It was hilarious to me, but no one else.
Yeah, I think I the last two sets I did that went well, one, I got on at the end and I only had 1 minute. I knew I would have a minute. So like I said, I did three jokes as fast as I can and then just got off stage, but they all worked. So that was I felt like that was good for me to show the Comedy Bar that I could at least do one good minute there. And then the next week I came back and I did 2 minutes, and then those 2 minutes worked. So I haven't really like had a good 4 or 6 minute set there, but I feel like when I've gone, I've at least more recently showed that I am pretty funny and I can win over their room and get quick laughs, which has always been my goal. So that's why I never really stress the 1 or 2 minute sets. It's like I want to do quick one-liners because that's the comedy I want to see. Like, I can sometimes watch people do longer jokes, but when it's like a headliner doing a 45-minute-an-hour set, so they...
Right,
they
do when you're doing open
the
mics...
The longer jokes in the middle, yeah.
You have to hit quick. And I think that's probably good for your development. Not you, but a person's development at these stages is, like, you got to be able to do setup punch. If you can't do that, I feel like you can't do comedy, you know what I mean? And then you can transition over into stories. But, what do you...
Well, it's also important to win over the audience quick.
True.
And that was how my phrase, yo, what up, bitches, started. It isn't just for the sake of saying that. It's that, like, I get a laugh when I say hi. It's like, okay.
This is, like, can I do it or not?
What?
Every time. It's funny because I don't know if you notice, like, every time you post something on Twitter, not every time, but I'll be like, ... assholes or whatever, because that's kind of like
also become its own little phenomenon.
It's kind of like your
other people would respond with that too, but I try not to tag too many jokes with asshole or idiot or moron. It's just, it's so easy to write those jokes,
dumb broad,
the news. Yes. I don't use that but, and it's memorable, which is,
I remember it.
For personal branding and everything, that's what you want, is people to remember something unique about you, and that it's consistently, hopefully I'm consistently good, but, like, I also have this consistent message and image and voice.
Well, it's the same thing in everything, like rap. Rappers all got their, like, or you know what I mean? Like, they all got a little thing that you notice them off of. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you follow rap music? Do you listen to it?
I listen to, like, 90s and 2000s rap. Well, I don't really listen to many new rappers.
They
but
all got
I might recognize the name if you say it. But what are you referring to exactly? Yeah.
Somebody called me, and so I had to deny the call. We're doing this on a cell phone. I'm sure you can tell that in these hard times. Dude, what about this? So what about... have you ever done the open mic that's at a record store? Yeah, what do you... Oh, you told me you like that room.
Yes, I've done that. It's a good place to do new jokes, but that's all.
I want
to
say, if you're an open micer, and I don't know if any open micers will listen to this podcast, you know what I'm saying, but I just feel like if you were getting into the game and you were really on the fringe of suicide or possibly going to kill yourself, you would for sure not want to go to that room. Because after your set, you're going to kill yourself for sure. I thought about doing it after I went there. I went there one time and I really considered blowing my brains out.
Well, it's all relative, though. Like, it is harder, and it's all comics, but it's like I said, I don't mind telling new jokes there just to see how they sound and see if other comedians think they're funny. Because, and also, if it's a joke that makes a room of comedians laugh, it might not make a room of real people laugh. Since we're all...
Here's the thing, too. Here's a different element. You all these people, I feel like you have, like, a respect, at least, from other comics because you've been in the world that long, you know what I mean? Whereas I'm just this fucking... new douchebag who's probably doing this as a new year's resolution, you know what I'm saying? And they're like, oh, this asshole, like, oh, he's not funny, and they just look at me like I'm a fucking mannequin standing there judging me. That's how I feel. I mean,
I think you're overthinking it, but I personally, yeah, it does take a while to win me over,
right? Like, because these all people have been seeing up. Everybody
first I want to see somebody go consistently.
Hello.
Yes. No, I'm still there. I just, I wasn't sure where we were, but I like to see new people go up consistently and then start doing well. I think that's how you win my respect. I'm sure other people have different thresholds, but yes, it's because there is so many new people that come and go and they do it three times and then they're like, I'm done.
On the room, because I know this could be bad for my political standing in the community if I just shit on a place, but I'm just saying,
And I'm not doing that.
That's not helpful.
When I went there, everybody was, like, people that I would consider to be, like, good comics on the scene, you know? And as someone who isn't one, it was intimidating for me for that to be the only people in the audience, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like to have a few drunk people, some people who don't do comedy. Like, to me, that feels more comfortable than going up dry, no alcohol being served, nobody doing anything but staring a hole through you, and they all are way better at comedy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm already beat before I go on stage. I feel like that's like a veteran room, you know?
Well, I think you're overthinking it, but I never really thought about that too much. And I try not to overthink any comedy club or open mic night. It's just like, I just need to test my material out and get off stage. Like, it doesn't matter too much about the room. Obviously, if it's like a book show or if it's something somewhere where you can, like, get booked other places too, then there's a little more pressure. But still, like, I don't want to overstress any one show. I mean, I think it's just comes down to, like, writing good jokes and being able to read the room enough that you can deliver
true them true. That's probably something I gotta get better at. I'm just green, bruh. You know what I have fun doing is go ahead.
No, and I said, and I don't feel like I'm any good at reading rooms. Like, that's why I can hope that my one-liners hit really quickly and that I don't have to stress about people that are not paying attention or they're too drunk or they are heckling. Like, it's being able to handle all of those situations takes a lot more skill than just going up and telling jokes, which is only half the battle sometimes. If it is a really drunk room or really rowdy and you have to get people to settle down and listen or get them to shut up, like, that takes a lot more.
You know what's fun to do is the Borough in Murfreesboro. It sucks that they only do it once a month, but it might not be sustainable more than that. But it's fun, dude. 10 minutes? When I went there the first time, I've only been there twice. And when I went there the first time and there was only four of us and they're like, you got to do 10 minutes. And I was like, I don't have 10 minutes of material, bro. This is going to be bad. And it wasn't as bad as I thought. I was at least able to come up with 10 minutes of material, you know. It was a test of my, I guess, material, you know. Not even if it was good or bad, just was it there and could I bring it from my brain to my mouth? You know, without losing my cool.
Yes. No. Yeah, no, and Radical Arts, who runs that open mic night, is great. And they booked me for my first 10-minute show on their late night with Amanda and Amber show. And it went well. I think there's a video of it on their Facebook page from, like, 3 or 4 months ago. And so that was a nice opportunity to spread my wings. But yeah, it seemed like their open mic night always had a good crowd that wants to see comedy. You know? That's why I drive from Nashville a half an hour all the way to Murfreesboro, which really isn't that far, but most of the open mic nights are
for sure. See, I live in Murfreesboro, so that's so close, and everything else is kind of far. But, you know, I drive Uber and Lyft and shit, so I'm always in Nashville anyway, so it ain't a big deal. Now I'm unemployed. So let me ask you this, dude. I'm so sorry if, like, some of the listeners find this too in the weeds. You know what I mean? But this is just, we're having fun, you know? But so what is the worst set you ever had in your whole life?
Oh, I'm surprised I don't get this question more. It's probably in college. I did a showcase for this Black student union group at my school, which and the women that ran it were great, and they loved my first set, but there was some jokes that could be offensive to them that were never really intended to be. So then, like, hey, don't tell those jokes. I was like, but that's the point. like is to talk about racial tension in the U.S. Even before right. Ferguson and everything. Like they were the one joke was about like racist police officers, and but they're like, yeah, don't say that. And I was also rusty from since I was in college and not doing comedy that much, as I mentioned before. So then I went up with like my B, C material, and it just bombed for like 3 minutes in this packed room of black people. And I was like the only white person there. And it was just so awkward. I think I have a video of it on my computer that I should probably delete.
Don't delete that it, was, man. Keep it for the scrapbook when you get rich and famous.
That I can remember.
But what did you do afterwards, and how did you feel? Like, so, what did you do physically? When did you go straight run for the door, or what did you do?
I just moved on. I was like, well, I'm glad that's over with.
That's so
funny.
We
made it through. also, my second other bombing story that I might as well throw in while we're talking is I saw that the local public access TV in Maryland, which was like 45 minutes away, was doing this comedy show on it. And so I also, while I'm in college and I'm rusty, I'm at this showcase on public access TV, and I wasn't that prepared. I went on last after we'd filmed the show the whole day, so people were probably dead tired, and I just go up there and bomb, and it's on camera. So it might still be on their website now.
Say the website again, because I want to.
Those are my two
up.
Worst bombs. I'd have to look at it. It was I think it was Montgomery County.
Oh my God! Please
Maryland public
send me that
in
a text message after that, and I'm going to put it in the link of this episode. Can I do that?
Yeah, that's fine. I don't think
I guarantee you some people will click on it.
That's
because
they haven't taken it down. It's I was gonna say, like I said, I don't know if it's still up. It would take me a while to find it. It was a pretty poor display of stand-up.
That's
comedy.
Great, man. That is so great. It's so funny because I'll record every set I do. And then the ones that are bad, I force myself to listen to it, and it is worse than getting kicked in the balls or something, you know? It's like you just hear what you thought was funny just be so horribly not funny, and even as the listener, you're like, that's not funny. It's so gross. It's so painful.
Yeah. Well, I also like to record mine. I haven't done it in a while. It's because sometimes I'll say a joke differently than I wrote it, but that slight change that I made will make it
right.
better. Like the joke I tell about the Kentucky, bourbon in Kentucky, I had to rewrite that a couple times because the way I was saying it and the way that it was getting laughs was a little different than how I wrote it initially. So it's always constantly tweaking it and making sure that it is recorded correctly so
yeah.
that it works every time.
Yeah.
I
so who's
good.
Your favorite open micer? I'll say that. Because, I mean, the obvious answers are like Aaron Weber and, you know what I mean, Dusty Slayer, whatever, like people from Nashville who are actually kind of up there, whatever, kind of being successful. But, like, who's your favorite open micer that you see every week?
No, it would probably be Aaron Weber or Brad Sativa, and it's kind of nice to see them headlining and going beyond just open mic nights. But they both have been committed
right.
to
and
it
it's paying
for
off now,
a while
huh?
and deserve to headline.
Yeah. And they're funny, dude. But, I mean, they're good, and that's why they're moving on and everything, you know?
And that's what I like about the Nashville comedy scene as a whole is that that people are relatively nice and it's not as cutthroat,
right.
And people aren't as
I think it's because there's not as
and
right
childish
there's less
as
of
they
us.
Are.
Don't
other,
you think it's because there's less people
comedy scene.
And like eventually, if the city gets bigger and bigger, then it will get cutthroat, you know?
I think the other reason is that we are in the South and people are a little nicer here. And life's a little less stressful than in
that could be
the DC Mid-Atlantic area as a whole.
Another thing is that this is like a satellite kind of place, and that if you want to really truly make it, you got to move to LA or New York, and when you get there, that's the top, and so then you got to fight, you know, like Laura Peak just moved out to California, right?
Yeah.
And I remember seeing her at open mics when I was first start, like back in like 2017, and I remember the first time I saw her at 10 Dog Tavern, I remember seeing her and just laughing so hard when I was like, do I want to do this, you know? I would just go to shows and not sign up or anything, and she stood out because she was so funny, you know? And so to me, it's so awesome that she like has made that leap and she's going for it.
Yeah, no, she's great, and she's like,
yeah, and see, I don't even know her personally, like I'm sure I've said less than 10 words to her, you know, but I do remember her from even back then. It's pretty cool to see her move on.
Yes. I mean, I know her a little bit. I'm not like best friend with her, but yes, I just from the times I saw her on mic nights and talked to her, like she did seem very, very friendly, and so it's nice to see her move on. She also was in like the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival, which is a pretty big festival.
Where's that?
Have on your resume.
Atlanta. That's cool.
Atlanta.
See, I'm stupid, man. I don't know a lot of stuff. I'm so new.
What I've seen too is that Dusty Slay.
Oh, he's a beast, bro. Like, he's like my favorite comedian. Almost, period. I won't say he's my top one, but I bet he's my top five. He's so funny, bro. He's hilarious.
He's still in Nashville, New York, or LA. Like he's been able to headline. Dope,
bro. He was traveling with Burt Kreischer for a while. I would listen to the Burt cast, and he would talk about Dusty.
I heard that he
at least was on the bus with him. But no, and if this is fake, if this ain't real, I feel so bad for just putting it out there. But I was listening to the Burt cast, right? And this was after I had seen Dusty at some open mics. I wasn't going up yet. I was still scouting it out. And I had seen him at Hannah had an open mic. Hannah Hogan had an open mic at this place in Brentwood. And Dusty was there, you know. And I remembered the name Dusty Slay because he was funny. And then I heard Burt say, yeah, we were on the tour bus the other day. And I got this guy, Dusty Slay, you know. I was like, what? And I thought that was pretty sweet.
Yes. No. And that also reminds me, the other aspect of comedy in Nashville that I like is that we're like 8 hours from 10 different cities, or within 8 hour radius of Nashville. Like you can go to multiple cities down in Alabama, go up to Kentucky, Chicago,
Dallas, I think is like 8 hours away.
Florida.
It might be
Dallas might be like 10 or 12, but Florida's not too far of a drive, and I've heard there's a lot of comedy clubs down there, so like it's a very, very easy to hit the road once you're at that point. So I think that's very nice to have access to, which in DC and Philly you don't really have access to as many different parts of the country.
Location, bro.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say some other stuff, but I guess I'm not going to go into it. I was hoping you would pick a more obscure open micer, like, that isn't known.
I was kind of surprised by that question, so. But that's why I kind of went with you, but there's a good number of good comics in Nashville. So, and it seems like everybody's getting better and going up consistently, which is good. So, so that's nice. And I think that is that there are plenty of open mic nights for everybody. So you don't have to constantly wait an hour or two to get up. Like you can go do an open mic night and get up and then go do another one the same night and you can do like two sets in like 3 hours, which is nice.
So if you're thinking about doing it, just do it, bro. I've been having a couple people hit me up and talk about wanting to do it, but they don't do it. I tell them, hey, meet me before. You know what I'm saying? We'll get a beer or we'll whatever. Quit chickening out, bro. You just got to do it. Do you remember your first time on stage?
Yes. Well, it was a long time ago. It was the summer after my junior high school when I went up, but I didn't go up consistently. But I met my teachers who convinced me to go and do it at the bar in the basement of this hotel, the Bar Comedy Club. And the first time I went, I didn't go on because I didn't know who to talk to about signing up. And then the second week, I guess it was like a Wednesday, I went up towards the end, and the guy was like, it's his first time, and did all that supportive.
Yeah. Don't shit on him too much.
Hyping the room and then telling them that they're new. And it went well. I don't know if all my jokes worked, but enough of them were that I was like, okay, like this isn't that bad. Like I can keep doing this. But I did it like two or three times that summer. And then I went to college, the first college, which was in Charlotte, North Carolina. Then that summer I came back. I think that was the summer that I did it like three or four times a week. And I went to all the open mic nights I could and realized that it was like, oh, this is the grind of like doing stand-up comedy. It's not like you do it once or twice yeah, and then you get on TV, like every new comedian thing. So like, oh no, like you have to write a lot, figure out what jokes work and what don't, and then you build a set, and then you build then you build a reputation and get booked on shows in any city, and then hopefully you like get on at the comedy clubs and go and perform at other comedy clubs, and then you can start going places. But until like you're established at all, like nobody, you're not right. just going to magically
dude get so on what's crazy it's or crazy now because we don't know how long this fucking virus shit is gonna last, you know, and it's like, when are we ever gonna get to go back on stage? Because even let's just pretend that April 30th, they're going to say, okay, go back out into the world or whatever. We're still going to have to practice social distancing. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you ain't going to be able to pack out clubs. Not that, like, any of the open mics are ever – well, sometimes the Third Coast Comedy Room is pretty packed, but, like, you won't ever really have that again for a while. You know what I mean? So, do you think – and it's all just guessing, but how long do you think before everything's just – clubs are back open again and bars are back open for open mics?
I'm bracing for 6 months. Like, I think that that's the worst case scenario that I'm allowing myself to think of in my head. And part of the reason that I always jump to the worst case scenario is that if it ends up being 4 months, I'm not as disappointed. Same thing with open mic nights and any shows I do. Like, I don't expect it to really go well, but when it goes well, I'm pleasantly surprised. Because if my expectations are too high, and or in this case, I expect this to all end in like 2 months, and then it's not 2 months, I'm just gonna be really depressed. But like if I stay pessimistic, I actually can cope with things not being that as bad as I think they're right. going to I be better. So I think my how I've been able to
well, you keep think my you're sanity. Pessimistic, bro. And my pessimism is that it's going to be 12 to 18 months. So I'm ready for like the worst. I don't want to get everybody down though, cuz there's enough of that going on. It's just that is something that does affect what we're talking about, you know, and it does suck that we're all stuck in the house. Like, I haven't been motivated to write. I'm forcing myself to try now. But this shit is just for the damn – it's for the bats. You know what I mean? But they gave it to us. So
yes.
Now we're dealing with it.
Yes. No, and to your point, if we hit the four-month mark of of only essential businesses are opening and there is no sports or entertainment, then I'll be like, well, it'll probably be 4 more months. And like, I'll keep pushing that
yeah.
goal line back. Because I guess I want to be pleasantly surprised by when it's over. But yeah, it's definitely going to get worse before it gets better, which is sad to see, but hopefully they can get it under control soon, but
we'll never know. I'm just bored, dude. I'm boreder than a collie, ball.
Yes, no, I've been procrastinating about writing too. There's nobody to tell jokes to.
Like, yeah.
I think that's my motivation, is to get that high from like, okay, I wrote this and people liked it. Like but it's like, I mean, I can tell you jokes over the phone or other people over Skype or Zoom or whatever, but it's still, you don't get the same gratification. At least I personally don't from doing
it you don't.
Remotely.
But so I wanted to, because we're getting close to an hour. I don't want to go too much over an hour unless you really got some more stuff you want to go into. But maybe we could just do another one of these because we're both fucking bored, you know, like another day or something. But I should have said this up at top, and I'll put a little thing in the front of this to just promote your podcast. You just started a podcast, so talk a little bit about that.
Yes, my new podcast is called Winning Losers. It's also available on Anchor and Spotify. And it's basically my friend from college and I talk about sports. We have a couple segments. Our first segment is Fails of the Week. So we just find news stories where people are not doing too well. Then I give some bad financial and dating advice, just anything I can think off the top of my head. And that's been fun. Then we do movie poster previews, which he's a huge movie fan, so I think that's why he brought it up. So I usually let him lead that segment. Then we ended last week's episode with a fictional game preview of the Marlins Nationals game that was scheduled to happen that day, but has since been canceled. But just to keep us talking about sports, we do.
Oh yeah,
we do these fictional.
It's funny
previews,
that you do
so.
Bad financial it's advice that, because when on our early episodes, probably 1 through maybe like 7 or 9 or something, we had a whole segment called Financial Advice. And I would do like that. I had a whole snippet and the music would come in and shit. And then I would just say some stupid bullshit. Like it would, and then we quickly stopped doing that because I just ran out of bad advice to give. Because I wasn't making it, like it wasn't real. It was all just bullshit, you know. I can't remember. I did listen to your podcast, but I can't remember specifically what you said during that time.
Yeah, I don't remember what I said either, but I wanted to keep the topics broad just so that there'd be plenty of material to talk about. And I'm hoping that I can, as I build this up, that people will send questions in so I don't have to come up with the questions and the answers. Because that's not as fun as having answers to somebody else's questions.
Right.
So it's obvious bad advice, and I hope people understand that.
True. Also, you got a YouTube channel.
You never know how people interpret. Yes, it's youtube.com/funnyseancomedy. Sean SEAN. I've been meaning to change the name to that, but Google has been difficult. Google has made that difficult.
Right. Well, so, that's.
It might be Sean M. Comedy if you listen to this. That's also my Facebook and Twitter.
Whenever I look at your videos, it does say Sean M. Comedy. I'm looking at one right now. Bad quarantine advice.
That's such a bad video. Like,
well, maybe it won't
earlier.
Be there by the time people listen.
No, but the karaoke videos are getting some momentum. So if you want to see me sing bad,
sing bad.
Country
He's
music
trying his hardest
and rap
as good as he can.
Poorly.
That's his best singing attempt on there.
Yeah, it's not good.
But yeah, I'll say something at the first of the episode so that way people will know about your podcast in case they don't want to hear us completely talk about comedy for one whole hour. So I hope it wasn't too boring, but I had fun doing it. So that to me, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
This is more of like an outlet.
Yeah, I know this.
You know, so I could have something to do for a minute, dude. I appreciate you joining me, man. I had fun.
No problem. Dude,
we were trying to get you in the studio to do a real podcast, but you know, the way shit worked. We just can't. We're practicing social distancing, so we can't do it. But eventually, yes. I do want to get you on the actual thing and have a good time and just be silly and weird.
Yes. No. That might be a little more difficult to work out, but yeah.
Well, I mean, after the end of the world's over and it's a new world,
do this in person.
For sure.
Yes. So in like 2 years.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I'm just gonna make it more and more
after whenever never mind, I'm not gonna go into that
whole thing.
It's funny that, you know, Sean Parrott, he had a
yes.
Do you remember his joke? And I'm not gonna like go into it, but do you remember the joke he was doing right before all this and happened?
No, I don't. I don't know.
He was going to be a good comedian for after the end of the world has started, like the post-apocalyptic. Because and he made up this whole character who's like the king of everybody, and it's just so funny. He's the cannibal. Oh man, it was great. It was so funny, and it would be so funny right now, but nobody can hear him do it. You know, but this is exactly the time that he was talking about, and I think about it every day. It's so fucking funny.
I don't know if I was there at
well, he was doing it. He was doing it for about a week or two. Like, he was developing this bit. I feel confident that it was going to be like a longer bit in like an hour section or something. You know, because he's got on Spotify, he has an hour on there, and it's funny.
Yes.
So I think about it every day. And if I could remember the dude's name of the guy he's like pretending is the leader, I would say it, but I just can't remember what it was. It's so funny though. But anyway, I guess he won't be able to do that bit anymore because everything will be fine, or it won't, and there will be no comedy.
Yep. We'll just have to see. I mean, this can't go on forever, but who knows how long it'll go on for.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate you being on here, and I'll let you know when it's up and all that, and we'll talk soon, but thanks for joining. If you got any last words, feel free to leave the people with it.
That's all for me. Everybody have a good one.
Thanks, all right, thanks, listening, man, for being on here. I appreciate it. All right, guys, as Sam tells y'all each and every week, we'll keep bringing it. You'll keep listening.